When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Pick Six with Mully and Haw, where we debate the top six sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Haw. Pick Six with Mully and Haw starts now.
How do you explain the Bears' three-game losing skid since the Commanders' unlikely Hail Mary? Are the results related to that moment? And what went wrong and what remains wrong? Do you believe it's manageable problem? Is it management? Or does this team have a culture of losing now?
Boy, does it feel like they have a culture of losing. It feels like they've had a culture of losing for, I don't know, since 85? Is that fair to say? I guess in the 2005-06 season, maybe they didn't have a culture of losing.
I think Lovie Smith did better than that.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I just can't help but look at some of the things that are going on now and wonder who's going to stop it, who's going to step up and do that. You know, we've got texters saying that Kevin Warren doesn't want anyone coming in with power. Listen, you got to get someone that can get them out of this. Whoever it might be. Is it the general manager? Is it the head coach? It doesn't look like there's a candidate when you look at the owner and the president and the general manager and the coach and you go down the line. This is a really bad situation that they're in, and it feels like they're just taking on more water. It doesn't feel like there's anyone there that has the first idea of how to repair this thing. That's the reality of where the Bears are at on 11-11-2024.
Well, I'm sure one of the chants also, along with fire Eberflus yesterday, and I think we heard actually the chant, David, out at the post-game show, right? It was sell the team. I think at one point we had a couple of guys with a Heineken in their hand, maybe sell the team.
Yeah.
And Olin actually mentioned this in until maybe management is in ownership has set the culture that you can't get rid of, no matter how talented of players you bring in, because they don't know how to identify the people to lead the players. And so, yes, somebody in Kevin Warren's position needs to shake things up over there. Otherwise, why is he here? Because otherwise he should be like what the Cubs have. And it's fine. This is not a shot at the Cubs. But the Cubs have a president of baseball operation business, right? That's Crane Kenny. They have a president of on field, right? And that's Jed Hoyer. So, so which one is Kevin Warren? And if he's both, then we need to hear from him. Something has to be done. Mully, you mentioned it, and you've said it over the years. When you lose three games in a row in the NFL, something must happen. Now, I didn't think it was going to happen by the time we hit the airways at 5:30 this morning. But maybe by the time we sign off at 10 a.m. and hand it off to the midday show, something should happen. because this is really bad.
Yeah, it definitely is that. Good points, all of them. The Hail Mary in Landover, Maryland, the Hail Maryland, or whatever you want to call it, that was the pivot point of the season and likely Matt Eberflus's tenure, because that was more than just one play. It was an example of what happens when all the key components of a football play, of a football team, of a football season break down. It exposed poor preparation, poor communication, and poor execution. And when you don't do those things, you lose more than a football game. You lose the trust internally, externally, everywhere. When you talk about culture, you're talking about an atmosphere where trust is built and it fosters, and it's easier to point to than it is to describe. Look at the Pittsburgh Steelers. Look at the successful teams, and just coming to mind that when you see it, you know it, and you can sense it. You look at the Detroit Lions when they win that game last night in Houston. After falling behind the way they did, they never stopped believing. They never stopped trusting. The Bears don't have that trust. It was broken irreparably in Washington. That play shattered it into pieces. So now you have what happened after that. They never recovered from that because this is a weak institution. This is a weak organization. They don't have the vision. And Kevin Warren was brought here to provide some. He's got tremendous ambition. He sounds great at a press conference. This is a systemic problem. He's got to solve it. If he doesn't have any solutions for this, if he doesn't want to offer any creative alternatives, why is he here? Why is he still talking? So it's on him. We're not exactly questioning the general manager first and foremost because there's so many other problems on the list, but the list is long. And it includes Ryan Poles. So to address this fully and adequately, Kevin Warren is the one we need to hear from. If not today, sooner rather than later.
Yeah, I'm not talking necessarily about a pick six or something like that.
Voice of Brad Biggs, Biggs Time is at 9. What is the biggest reason for Caleb Williams look as bad as he has looked for now 3 games in a row? How many of the 9 sacks? Yes, 9 times were his fault for holding onto the ball too long.
Realistically, probably 2 and maybe more, but I don't know that it matters. He's forming some bad habits because the pocket is collapsing and he's dropping back, and all of a sudden, boy, there's somebody shooting through the A-gap again. They can't protect the passer, and he's really headed in the wrong direction. This is going to sound odd and maybe like a Caleb Williams apologist, but on the list of problems that they have, I don't think that he's near the top. He has been disappointing. He has been inaccurate. He has not met expectations, and they were enormous, and we were responsible for creating them. We accept those criticisms, if you want to call them that, but you got to give him time to throw, and you've got to give him an offense that he can execute. You've got to scheme some receivers open every now and then. I think the problems begin with a poor offensive line. They extend to terrible play calling, lack of vision. And then I think that Caleb Williams then probably should take some responsibility for him not improving at the rate that we thought he was after 2 really good games. So it takes a village to ruin a season, and Caleb Williams is just part of that.
I might go a little higher than 2, but I'd have to go back and watch each one of them. I'd go probably 4 were Caleb's fault. But David, you just mentioned the A-gap pressure, and your guy, Dougie Kramer, Mr. Run the Damn Ball baseball cap after games, he's not fit to play guard in the NFL. And I don't know that he's fit to play center either, but if this is how banged up the line is, then you know what needs to start happening today? That Kramer's got to go back to center, and you got to figure out what you're going to do with guard, because he cannot play guard. And does this speak to how bad the depth is on the Bears' offensive line? What was it? Did they dress 7 offensive linemen yesterday? 7.
7.
7. Yep. And so when they had the injury to Tevin Jenkins, and who had that on their bingo card? Tevin Jenkins out before the first half, right? Bingo! Yeah, okay, this just shows how awful some of these guys must... This Jake Curran guy? Jake Curran couldn't get into the game. Instead of putting Jake Curran in and moving Taylor back down to guard, they decided to plug the mini fridge back in and let him play guard, a position he is not fit to play. He's a local guy made good. I'm not picking on him, but I'm picking on him. He can't be a guard in the NFL. They exposed a good defensive coordinator yesterday for the Patriots. Their head coach is a really good defensive guy. They exposed that weakness and did it again and again and again and again.
Yeah, that's what you do in the NFL. That's what happens. The problem, really, you can't look at the lowest paid guys that are on your roster and say, well, that guy's, it's his problem. Why didn't that guy that started the season on the practice squad do better? That's what a hierarchy is for. That's what a pay structure is for. What does Wade Davis do for a living? He apparently got his back acted up. Anyone who's had a back problem has sympathy. But when you can't play all year because there's no room at the inn, and then you finally get an opportunity, do you take advantage of it or does your back go out? It is, you know, where you spent the money and how you line them up as the problem. And really, as far as this question is concerned, Caleb Williams, that is all that matters. You've got to be QB-centric. If the QB is regressing under the current offensive administration, you change it. You cannot go through a season and end up with the quarterback hurt at the end of it. So I'm very worried about what's going on with the quarterback, about whether they can protect him. Max protect if you're getting sacked like that. Who cares whether you win the game? It's whether you win with having the right guy in the right spot, and you just can't let him get hit like that. It's two games, man. He's getting killed out there. You want to talk about how you develop bad habits? You keep knocking a guy in the face. Guess what? It's all he's going to do is feel like he's about to get knocked in the face. And when you talk about a quarterback's sight changing, he's no longer looking at what's open on the field. He's looking down because these guys are coming after him. That's the worst thing that can happen to a guy. That's going to impact him for years. So they got to be QB-centric. You drafted the guy first overall. Everything that you did was about building him up. You just made the wrong moves. You worried about the receivers and not the line.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This show is brought to you by 5-Hour Energy. Being a fan is a hands-on job, which is why we're freeing up your hands for cheering, jeering, and everything in between. With 5-Hour Energy Fan E-Pack, you'll be fully equipped to hit the tailgate with all the energy you and your fellow diehards need for rooting on the home team. No matter what, just take a shot past the rest to your entire squad and keep the good times rolling. Now available on 5hourenergy.com with the purchase of Stan the Fan 5-Hour Energy. Shipped nationwide.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
I don't know. That's a tricky question.
Well, there's going to be plenty of tricky questions for DJ Moore coming up at 8 o'clock. Set yourself a reminder. Can you make any kind of defense for the OC Shane Waldron or the head coach Matt Eberflus if you were contacted by George McCaskey about how to successfully finish this season? What would move you do to recommend to George to finish this thing out?
Well, you got to get rid of the play caller. You got to do that immediately. There's just no way around it. You know, when you got offensive linemen that have come in and that are backups, you got to get them. You got to find something they can do. You got to be able to run the football a little bit. You got to figure out a way to get your running game going. You got to take pressure off your young quarterback. it would start with that. You know, I don't know that there are obvious solutions to what's gone wrong, but the reason that they hired this guy, Shane Waldron, the reason they gave you was his versatility, that he could operate in different fashion, different ways. Well, let's see him do it. He can't. He had the opportunity. They didn't make any changes. They haven't been ahead of the bar in any way on offense this year. So I think you change your play caller. Which guy? You got a choice of a couple of guys. I guess I'd go with whoever did it most recently. You know, part of the problem here, especially when you talk about Matt Eberflus, his reaction to the Washington game was pretty unacceptable. His reaction and then his double down the next day. And since that time, all he's been doing is trying to take the blame and take responsibility. You know, unfortunately, when you needed that, it wasn't there. And then when you finally got to it, it was hollow and it was too late. And I don't know that he's I don't think he's salvageable. Now, I know the Bears haven't fired a coach in season. It's something they don't believe in. Does that have more to do with paying a guy off than it does with getting any kind of change? The other thing is there's not an obvious candidate to take over for him. That's probably the only defense of the guy. So he did a really good job of putting together a group that that no one would want to hire. Is that what I'm saying? I feel like you're going to have to start from scratch next year. And I wonder if the people doing the hiring are the right people. I really wonder. I really want to know if Kevin Warren knows what he's doing as an NFL executive. Because at this point, I think we've concluded that George doesn't. That George has never won a playoff game. So you've done something just very wrong to get to that point in those number of years. I would have a hard time defending any of the major figures here for what has happened, and I would have a hard time not seeking a final solution to their careers with the Bears.
Well, you said a lot of great things there, Mully, but I mean, I think that's the question on top of, there's no doubt, I think, is there anybody out there, 312-644-6767, that believes this Sunday Shane Waldron should call plays for the Bears? Now, the only reason is maybe because, Mully, as I'm looking at the people inside the building, inside this building right now, the reason Kerry Joseph is here is because he was with Shane Waldron in Seattle. So, but this is almost to me like when you fire a manager in baseball midseason and then you elevate the bench coach. Oh, so he has all the answers. So wait a minute. If one of these guys has all the answers, then he should be fired and demoted as well because he hasn't been sharing them with Shane Waldron, unless you can find out through meetings inside the building that Shane Waldron has said, I'm the offensive coordinator, play caller, thank you very much. You do your job, I'll do mine. Now, if you can find that out, then reshuffle the chairs on the Titanic because it's going down.
It's different when you're calling plays. Then you speak to a different voice with a different voice. I think I understand why changing play callers could make a difference, and I think that's the direction they will go. I'd be very surprised if they respond to the public outcry and they fire the head coach today with the Packers 6 days away. I don't expect that to happen. If they do, we will be all over it. I could understand them justifying it. They have 2 years left to pay Matt Eberflus after this one. So you're talking about a $9 million severance package, which is a pretty healthy one. In Shane Waldron's case, according to Front Office Sports this summer, there was a report ranking offensive coordinator salaries. He's making $2 million this year. So you're basically eating $1 million paying him to go away. That's money well spent at this point. So I think when you talk about what moves they could practically make and likely make, Matt Eberflus will, I think, face reporters today and announce some sort of change in the play calling operation. I don't know if that means Shane Waldron is fired or demoted, but I can't see him calling plays for Green Bay. They're going to go probably maybe Thomas Brown has done it more recently for the Panthers. You can look at what was unable to do with Bryce Young and point a finger if you want. But change for the sake of change right now is what you embrace if you're the Chicago Bears. You can't continue down this path without making some sort of adjustment.
These are the questions I cannot answer, right?
Boy, if Olin doesn't have answers, I don't know who does. What happened to the Bears' once proud defense, and why can't they stop the one any longer to create takeaways like they did earlier in the season? Montez Sweat was back. Was he really there? The Bears did not win the game because of their defense and arguably wasn't the best defense on the field. What in the heck has happened?
I think they've been hurt by injuries. I think they have been affected by Sweat's absence when he was gone. And now you take Andrew Billings out of the middle, and they were able to, the Patriots, do what they needed to do. Drake May was the best quarterback on the field. Didn't see that one coming either. But overall, I don't know that they're as aggressive. I don't know that they're as attacking. It's not all on the defense. And let's face it, they only did give up 19 points, so that's not a bad day at the office statistically. I don't look at this as a defensive collapse, as I think it's an offensive collapse and a breakdown in leadership and everything that we have talked about. So I think the Bears' defense is salvageable, and they could put together a final eight games to be proud of. Montez Sweat is there. Andrew Billings is not, but you still can put together some semblance of a run defense. They missed Jaquan Brisker. It goes without saying that his absence for the past month has been felt. They're not as good against the run. They're lacking that explosiveness in the secondary. Kyler Gordon returned, but still Brisker is gone, and they certainly could have used him to create one of the takeaways that they've been lacking.
Well, takeaways obviously is something the Bears did, and then they capitalized. I mean, yesterday, perfect example, probably the highlight of the game. Edwards makes that nice interception, terrible throw by another rookie quarterback. He steps in front of the ball. I don't even know if he stepped in front of the ball. He looked like he was the intended receiver, to be quite honest. And they did absolutely nothing with it. They did nothing. So that's the problem. When the defense actually does do something, they then cannot capitalize on offense. I could not believe that stat that Fox had now. At one point, it was 19 in the game. 19 consecutive offensive series without a touchdown being scored. After the game, it's all the way up to 23. The other part, you know, Montez Sweat, he's back, but he's definitely not 100%. This defense has got to be exhausted. They're on the field constantly. It feels like the time of possession always favors the other team.
Okay, so I'm just looking at this. They started the first drive at New England's 47. The next drive at their own 40. The next drive at their own 48. The next drive at their own 35. The final drive of the first half at their own 30. How do you come away with a field goal out of all that? How is that humanly possible that all you manage with that excellent field position in the first half? You managed 2 3 and outs among your first three drives. It's not humanly possible. How bad are you? How broken is this offense, Theo Epstein? I know the word. I know how bad it is. But that waste of field position, you'll always regret that. That will always bite you in the rear end before it's all said and done. Listen, the defense, we all know what's happened to the defense. They've had some injuries. You know, Montez Sweat being out of a game cost them a game. It was that simple. They were not the same team. And you could argue that if he was on the field, that Hail Mary wouldn't have happened. But that's just unfortunate that guy missed some time. Now you got Andrew Billings. That's now the rest of the season problem. You got a major problem stopping the run to begin with, and you lost your best defensive tackle and your best run stopper. We had identified that before the season began. The idea, like, uh-oh, you don't want to lose that guy. Who's the most valuable? Well, you know, he's awful good. Yeah, I think we're seeing exactly what we thought we'd see.
That's another really good question.
All right, lots of good questions this morning. Now let's move over to a little bit of baseball. Let's take a deep breath, get away from the Bears for just a second. Just take a little pause. Did you like hearing that Grady Sizemore will remain on the White Sox coaching staff in an yet-to-be-unnamed role? Does that help the team and new manager Will Venable moving forward?
I guess I like it. You know, Dustin, you said that you hate when they hire the bench coach. Well, you know, when you fire a guy and the bench coach doesn't get the raise he wants to take the job, then you wind up with Grady Sizemore. And you wind up finding out that he's probably a better manager, even though he'd never done it, than the guy you had hired as the manager. and your team does a little bit better, and you say, well, we're not going to consider him as manager, but you know what? Maybe we should consider him as manager. So you pretend to have considered that. Seems like a nice guy. Seemed like he built a nice rapport with players. I'm glad the guy is back. I don't think it makes an ounce of difference.
It probably doesn't make an ounce of difference what we will actually see in the win and the loss column. But something that Venable mentioned, right, to you guys when he spoke to you was that the Rangers, where he was the associate manager, he claimed, and I think if we look back, you could agree, they played with a little bit more spunk, if you will. They didn't make the mental mistakes that they seemed to be making before. And maybe Grady Sizemore had a little bit of impact on. Let's see what his role is. You know, is he going to be the first base coach? Is he going to be the bench coach? I think that's where I don't think anything bad happens because Grady Sizemore is sticking around. I could see if Grady Sizemore was named the whatever it was, the 44th manager of the Chicago White Sox instead of Will Venable, I think that would be bad, and I think that would be a mistake. But let's see what the role is. I predicted he would stick around, and now I'm going to predict he'll be the first base coach.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to have any effect on the standings. I don't think he's going to have any effect on the outcome. He's a good guy to have around because players like him. They printed T-shirts for him. They liked playing for him. He was a bright spot in a dismal season. And the fact that he is retained, to me, says more about Will Venable than Grady Sizemore. It says to me that Will Venable is confident enough as a leader to not worry about having somebody who was popular as a predecessor. This was the guy that managed his team for a really difficult stretch of the season, maintained his popularity with players, and Will Venable is not threatened by that. So to me, that's the biggest part of this development, is that he's bringing somebody back because it may help him connect with players he doesn't know very well, and he's not threatened by his presence.
Can he go? Foot race. Glenn will catch him. Touchdown. Pick six, Notre Dame.
Oh, did Notre Dame lay it on Free Shoe University on Saturday night? How did the Bulls go into Atlanta and beat the Hawks on their home floor Saturday night? Did Zach LaVine make that big of a difference? And what are we to make of the Bulls this morning?
Did you just say Free Shoe University? I mean,
Free Shoe University,
that's a 90s
David.
Reference,
that
man.
That sure is.
That's like a dated reference.
Yes.
You're going way back.
Lou Holtz and back
and
in the day.
That was embarrassing.
Free Shoe University.
That was quite a whipping that, boy, Notre Dame.
Now you can buy your own shoes because you get paid.
Zach LaVine did what Zach LaVine does. He provided some instant offense. He was it was there when the Bulls needed a big shot, and I think that they're much better and different team with him than without him. He also spoke after the game about the realities that he understands and accepts. He's been, when on the court, when healthy, when involved, he has been the consummate pro since day one of training camp. So I'm not surprised. Anything that Zach LaVine does, you know what you're getting. You know that he's going to be the guy that can still hit shots and score. And yeah, he does make that big of a difference on this team. And when he plays, the Bulls have a better chance to win those games than people might want them to win.
On this team, David, I'm going to use your word. On this team, Max LaVine makes a big difference. Okay, good for Max. Let's see how he does against the 11-0 Cavs tonight. New measuring stick.
You know, I and they play Atlanta, by the way, or not Atlanta. They play the Cavs twice in the next three games. They had 30 assists in that game. So, you know, I mean, Zach makes a huge difference because he can hit shots. But they moved the ball really well. And there were different moments where they would move the ball and knock down three. It was pretty extraordinary. And it's the Bulls at their best, frankly. What we saw from them, it was kind of a revival of what we saw in a couple games earlier in the year when they were beating some good teams. They really moved the ball well, and they did a good job of getting open shots. Even when a guy got a ball and it looked like he had an open shot, they still spread the ball and got open shots. 30 assists, a big deal for the Bulls, and it's a big deal in the NBA. So I thought that was one of the reasons that you saw the big improvement. And Zach LaVine is, you know, he's a very good player. He's a professional basketball player. And I'm not saying they don't have pros, but they have some guys that are kind of more journeyman pro type than guys that are former all-stars. And Zach looked good in that game. I don't know what they're going to do against Cleveland, but I hope they move the ball and play the fashion in which they've been playing.
Are they still undefeated, the Cavs?
Yes, they're 11-0,
I believe.
Yeah. That's unbelievable.
And you play them two of the next three games.
That's great.
This show is brought to you by 5-Hour Energy. Being a fan is a hands-on job, which is why we're freeing up your hands for cheering, jeering, and everything in between. With 5-Hour Energy Fan E-Pack, you'll be fully equipped to hit the tailgate with all the energy you and your fellow diehards need for rooting on the home team. No matter what, just take a shot past the rest to your entire squad and keep the good times rolling. Now available on 5hourenergy.com with the purchase of Stan the Fan 5-Hour Energy, shipped nationwide.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.